Yeah, I forgot to mention that Brian is back, Brian Darling. The Darlings are a little family, short family vacation here. I think Brian will be back next Sunday, and I think he's going to probably preach on Wednesday night, so look forward to seeing him. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 12, at least part of the time here this morning. Genesis chapter 12 may seem kind of an odd place to go for a quote-unquote Christmas type week message or whatever. Of course, that never stopped me before. But Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. I'll make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you here this morning. Time of the year, a lot of people's minds come across the idea of Jesus Christ, have some knowledge of his sacrifice and who he was. We hope that contrary to all the other stuff that goes with it, that there would be some folks that find Jesus Christ for real in this season. If it's so, the season won't be responsible for it, for it'll be the power of the gospel. We pray here this morning, Lord, that you might open our eyes to something that we need to see. If there's somebody here lost, we certainly pray that they'd be saved. But Lord, for Christians as well, there's something here this morning we hope that would be a help to them. We pray that it would help us all, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, it's no secret that it's the holiday season here these days. Everybody's wrapping up their final Christmas stuff, whatever it is that they do. You know, one of the things that comes out, you know, through this period is, you know, people suddenly become more likely to express, and it may not be all in truth or completely correct, but people are more likely at this time of the year to express some sort of religious or inspirational or spiritual sentiment than at other times, you know, in the year. Cards, of course, go back and forth. Well wishes, religious expressions, all those things are common. It's almost like the world for a month tells people, okay, it's okay for you to express some spiritual warmth at this time, but don't try it in July. It's almost like one of those deals, you know. And I got thinking about that a little bit, and it got me thinking, you know, that Satan really has things from both ends. Satan manages to is trying to get rid of the Word of God, and manages it two ways, and it seems like he gets to play both ends of the matter. In one case, he wants to get it completely out of the public eye. You can't have the Ten Commandments in court. You can't have scripture verses, you know, in public schools, you know, et cetera, et cetera. His idea is to bury it, to get it out of the public eye. It's unacceptable. It's bigoted, all those things. And, you know, he's done fairly well in succeeding to do that in some cases. On the other hand, there are, like this time of the year, where it seems like the way he succeeds almost in burying the truth is by having everything be a cliche, you know, where, you know, everybody uses words, but they're empty. And that happens all the time, of course, in the religious world anyway. A lot of you come from a spiritual background in different churches where they use some of the same words anyway that we do, but they didn't use them in a biblical way, you know, whatsoever. But in this particular time of the year, I mean, people, you hear terms all the time that are spiritual. I mean, it's nothing to say, I hope that, you know, hope you have a blessed Christmas, for instance, that sort of thing. You'd say that to a Walmart cashier, and she or he'll probably respond fine. This time of the year, you try it in July, like I said, and you're going to get a funny look. But I was thinking of all the cards and all the salutations and all the banners and all the stuff up at stores and that sort of thing containing the word blessing or blessed. Here in this passage, in verse 2 and 3, blessed are they that bless thee, cursed are they that curse thee, I'll bless thee, thou shalt be a blessing, bless, 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 five or six times in the two verses, talking about being a blessing. I bet I bet if you forced people to have to give a definition of what blessing was, I bet most people would have a hard time verbalizing it. I don't know about you. We are Christians and we're Bible believers, so maybe it's not quite the same with you, but do you know what a blessing is? Now, I know that you probably have an idea what it is, but I mean, when it gets right down to it, could you put it to words? So I want to talk to you for a little while this morning about what blessing means. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, there's a lot of blessing going on there. I mean, some of those things are very profound for us, obviously, but in verse 2, I'll make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curseth thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Bless, 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 bless. All right, first thing that you learn out of that, ladies and gentlemen, is that God is the ultimate blesser. He says there, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. All right, now I'll tell you what you need. You need the blessing of God. Okay? Even if you haven't determined exactly at this point how to verbalize exactly what it is, I'll tell you what you need. You need the blessing of God, and men can say what they want to say. Men can curse you. Men can bless you. But unless you have the blessing of God, you don't have anything, right? Now, the other thing about that is it says in verse 2, thou shalt be a blessing, talking about Abraham. So God's a blesser, but a man can be a blessing as well. And Abraham is a blessing. Abraham's a blessing because out of Abraham's loins came the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you believe on Jesus Christ, you believe unto the faith of Abraham according to the Scriptures, right? And so in that way, Abraham's a blessing. And it goes on to say in verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. So not only is it God's blessing, though, but men bless or curse. So men can bless. So you can think about that for a second. We'll look at it in a minute. But needless to say, God's blessing supersedes anything man can do. Right? And then it goes on to say at the end of verse 3, and in thee, in Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed. So you have God the blesser. A man can be a blessing. A man can bless. And a man can be blessed. In this case, all the families of the earth shall be blessed in Abraham. Okay? With that being said, when I tackle this, I understand, you know, all you have to do is look up in a concordance, and you have a while to study if you look up every blessing in the Bible, anytime somebody was blessed or anything like that. So I understand whether or not this is exhaustive is really not the point here this morning. What I did figure out was that when it comes to trying to define what a blessing is, it falls into, well, I'll be telling you how many points it is, but it falls into six categories, all right? And some of those categories you're going to do okay with guessing. Others of them, you're going to need your Bible, or you won't know what it is, okay? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not a blessing to win the lottery, okay? Sometimes people ask for things thinking they'll be a blessing, and they won't be a blessing, and if you win the lottery, it ain't going to be a blessing. All right, I'll tell you that right now. But that was just an aside. That was editorial completely. All right. First thing I want you to see here, look in verse 2 and 3. Let me read it again. I've read it a couple times already. I'll make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. Now, it's not really too evident in that verse. I'll give you some other examples, and we could really make a real Bible study out of this, and everybody be running back and forth in their Bibles. But if you will, just listen to me here for a second. I'll tell you the first thing that a blessing is, and it may explain a couple of things that may have confused you in times past. A blessing, first of all, is approval. It's somebody's approval, including God's approval, or a kind pronouncements. And what I mean by kind pronouncements is Proverbs 27:14 says this, he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early, it shall be counted a curse unto him. You ever get one of those 6 o'clock in the morning phone calls from somebody that expects you to be chatty? All right? Or that wakes you up? All right? I mean, this is a neighbor that blesses his neighbor, comes into the neighbor's bedroom and says, rise and shine, good looking. It's time to get up. My, you are a fine looking fellow. This guy's going to get an alarm clock that has to be surgically removed, right? Because what's he say? He walks in, complimenting the guy early in the morning before the guy's awake, and the guy doesn't need this. Okay, but the idea is, how do you, you know, what is a blessing? Well, that blessing is a kind pronouncement. A guy comes in all cheery at 5:30 in the morning, expecting the guy to be awake and cheery himself, right? But it's a kind pronouncement. Another example of this, in Romans chapter 12, it says, bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Now, you know, it's not like somebody persecutes you and you go, well, you know, God bless you. It's not. That's not what that is. It's you saying something kind to or about somebody that's persecuting you instead of cursing them. That's what I mean. This is one of those things that maybe some people wouldn't have guessed that a blessing was. Most people think a blessing is all about God waving his magic wand and you getting what you want. Getting your problem solved and a lot of money. Right? That's not what a blessing is. It can be in part what it is, but the first thing that a blessing is approval or a kind pronouncement. For instance, again, Laban, after he went and chased down Jacob, after Jacob offed with Laban's daughters, and they got it all sorted out there in the desert, the Bible says that Laban brought his daughters out and blessed his daughters and sent them away. Now, folks, when it says that Laban blessed his daughters, there's no indication of any spiritual or supernatural pronouncement, any kind of anything that he was able to do for them magically or supernaturally. What did he say? He said, I love you, girl, you guys, you know, hope to see the grandkids one day. See ya. He's saying nice stuff. Jacob went in before Pharaoh and blessed Pharaoh. He didn't say, Pharaoh, what do you do? He didn't do that. It was, he said something nice to Pharaoh, right? So the point is, folks, one of the things that you need to think about with blessing is that, you know, it's approval. It's a kind pronouncement. Used to, probably still do today, and, you know, many people's families anyway, a young man felt the obligation to go to his fiancée's father and mother and ask for their blessing. It meant their approval, right? If the father gives his approval, is there something magical that happens? No. But they seek his blessing. They seek his approval, right? Did you ever wonder, you read in the Bible, we just sang a couple songs this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. What does that mean? How does we know how God blesses man, or at least we think we do. How does a man bless God? God receives my blessing. He does if you say things kind to him. He does if you will tell him that you approve of what he does and what he says. That's where the first thing that blessing is. In James chapter 3, it says that with your tongue, you bless God. Right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Over and over in the Bible, bless the Lord, O my soul. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, so on and so. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What's it mean? It means that you're saying something kind about God. It means that you're saying something approving about God. So the first thing it's blessing God. It's you saying, along with the psalmist, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Whatever you do, God, and whatever you say, God, and whatever you are, it's fine by me, it's good by me, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what it is. Is everybody okay? You're really quiet. First thing that a blessing is, it's approval. It's saying something kind. Abraham says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Well, that's a blessing. That's Abraham saying, God's going to do right no matter what I think. Okay, the other way around is the blessing of God. And it's a little closer to what we normally think of. Let me ask you a question. Does God approve of you? Now, in salvation, it's important that you get that settled, right? But we'll talk more about salvation later. But for the moment, does God approve of your decisions? Now we say, oh God, help me to make the right decision and bless the decision. And what you mean by bless the decision is, you know, if I give a dollar, give me $100 back. That's what we mean. I mean, in Isaac's case, we'll talk about it a little bit more later. You know, the Bible says that God blessed Isaac and gave him 100-fold of the seed that he planted. Well, you know, that's the Lord's blessing. Well, that's what we normally think of. And we normally expect, when we say, God, bless me, you want something from him. Let me ask you a question. Is it not enough to think, first of all, maybe God, and God does do something for people at times, but is it sufficient that he approves? Here's a woman. She brings two mites, pitches it in, and she doesn't, as I read it, he doesn't even talk to her, but he calls his disciples and says, did you see that woman? She cast in two mites, and with two mites, she cast in more than they all. All right? Well, you know what he did? He blessed her actions by approving of them. Right? It doesn't say she got more money. It didn't say that by sowing the seed faith offering of two mites, she received, it didn't say that. But he blessed her. He approved, right? You know, we don't think too much of that anymore. Very little thought is given to that anymore. The Bible says, for instance, in Isaiah chapter 5, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. See, sometimes we make decisions, and because God doesn't seem to bless or curse it, well, there we are. Well, my question is, does God have to do something? Or is it enough for you that God approves of it? That you just made the right decision, and he says, yeah, that was the right decision. Does he have to give you something for you to be blessed? No, he doesn't. Sometimes you're going to do right, and he approve of it. And if you read the Bible, he might even say kind things about what you did. But as far as seeing some magical or supernatural thing happen, as far as a blessing is concerned, you may not see it. You understand? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, for instance, it says, study to show thyself what? Approved unto God. A workman that thee not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me ask you a question. How has God approved my 20 plus years of study? Well, okay, you know, hopefully there's the power of God and hopefully unction and hopefully, you know, you get fed and, you know, all those nice things. That's all fine. But in the end, how does he approve it? He says, good job. You did what you're supposed to do. It's a blessing. He approves it. He says, you know, there have to be heresies among you so that those that are, so that they which are approved among you can be manifest. You know what I'm saying? So a blessing is not always, okay? Now there's something else in connection with a blessing. First of all, a blessing is approval. Do you approve of God? Second of all, does God approve of you? Do you say kind things to God about God? Does he say kind things about you? All right, the other thing, look in Genesis 33 for a second. I want to show you another way that blessing is not particularly well understood. Genesis chapter 33. And while you're at it, just turn on over to 2 Kings 5. I'm not going to tarry on this one very long. 2 Kings 5 and Genesis 33. Genesis 33. Now Jacob is really, 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 really nervous about meeting Esau and wrestles with an angel and all those kind of things. But when you get down to verse 33, this is all I wanted you to see. Jacob sends out a bunch of cattle and sheep and stuff to hoping that his gift will assuage any leftover bitterness that Esau has. And in verse 11 it says, take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought unto thee. Well, what's a blessing there? Blessing's a gift, right? Blessing is the flock that he sent him ahead to make a way for him, right? In 2 Kings chapter 5, you can see that again. 2 Kings chapter 5. And Notice verse 15. This is Naaman the Syrian, right? And he returned to the man of God. He's healed. He and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." What's he saying? Take a payment. Take a gift. I'll give you something. And you'll recall that Gehazi later went and received the gift and got leprosy for it, right? Okay, I just wanted you to see that sometimes a gift is a blessing. What a blessing means, well, for one meaning is approval. Either your approval of God or God's approval of you. A kind thing spoken, kind things pronounced. You saying kind things about God. God saying kind things about you. But it also means a gift. It's kind of an extension of point number one, of approval. For instance, here's a young guy, and he's in love with this girl, and he finally kneels down in front of her, tells her that he loves her, he wants to spend the rest of his life with her, and he wants her to bear his children, and she's the most gorgeous thing he's ever seen in his life. And she'll always be the most beautiful woman in the world to him. He approves, right? Nice thing said. It doesn't hurt, that he also has a ring with a rock on it to give to her. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to have a diamond to back it up. Okay? Point being, it's kind of an extension of approval. It's a gift, all right? He gives her a ring with a big rock, so she's really blessed now. All right, here's the lesson, though. Jesus Christ came to this world. Jesus Christ hadn't come for 4,000 years. There were lots of spiritual things that went down for the first 4,000 years before Christ showed up. But Jesus Christ showed up, came into this world to save sinners, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and now we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul calls that an unspeakable gift. We talked in Sunday school this morning about things that were unspeakable, that were unlawful for a man to utter. Paul calls Jesus Christ's gift of eternal life an unspeakable gift because you can't really express it. Okay? It's an unspeakable gift, but it's a gift. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." See, what's the point? It's a blessing to be saved. And the blessing is that it's a gift. It wouldn't be such a blessing if you had to earn it. That's a real blessing that he not only said kind things to you, but that he gave you something that he paid completely for. All right? And so the point here is if you don't know anything of that gift, then you don't know anything about blessing at all. And you can call all kinds of things blessed. And you can dream up all kinds of quote-unquote blessings. You can have all kinds of misapprehensions about blessing. But if you're not saved, you know nothing about blessing. So first of all, blessing is approval. God approving of us. And by this gift, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're cleansed from our sins. Right? But now we get to a little bit more of the meat here. And like I said, you're going to need a Bible to figure out what a blessing is. Because, go back to Genesis chapter 1. And Genesis chapter 1 is the first time in the Bible, you'd have a hard time going earlier than this, that the word bless even shows up. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 22, it says this: "And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply on the earth." Now he's talking at this point to the animals. God blessed them, saying, so the blessing is not separate from what he says. He blessed them, saying, right? He blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters. Look in verse 28. Now he's talking to the man and the woman. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." He said the same thing to Noah. It says that he blessed him and told him to go and multiply and replenish the earth. All right, I'll tell you something that you probably wouldn't have guessed. This is probably not in the average Lutheran's theology. I'll tell you what a blessing is. A blessing is a commission. A blessing is something to do. When He created Adam and Eve, He didn't leave them there just to lounge around and do nothing. Compared, I suppose, our perception of it, compared, I suppose, to what we deem all the things that we have to do, you know, presumably they didn't have to do their clothes and all this kind of stuff, at least in the original plan. You know, it may look to us like they had nothing to do, but God doesn't create things and then leave it with nothing to do. There's a purpose behind it. I wanted you to see there in those passages that the first times that the Bible uses the word bless or blessing is that it's a commission. It's something to do. The concept of, you know, most people, when you start talking about blessing, most people, it's like Santa Claus arrives. And my problems are taken care of. I have lots of money. And this thing that I've always wanted, I got. You know, that's a real blessing. I'm terribly afraid that in the main, when people think about blessing, if they stop to think about it at all, that's usually what they think about. A gift received. Okay? Having ignored the gift of eternal life, many of them. Right? But I'm telling you right now, folks, one of the first things you need to see is that a blessing is a commission. A blessing is something to do. The first time it shows up, it's something to do. Now, I don't doubt for a second that God placed His blessing on the replenishment of the earth and on Adam and Eve's seed and so on, and that God's part in it was to extend favor and maybe protection and help and all that, which is usually what we kind of conceive blessing to be. But the blessing, at least originally, was just having something to do. It was a commission. Now, folks, most of you here, most of us all here, have had vain periods in our lives. Before you were saved and you had no light, most of you would raise your hands to say, I was living life in vain. Some of us, you know, even after we were saved as kids, you know, we had a dark period of life where, you know, our field was fallow. And we lived a vain life even as saved people, right? Most people don't remember what it was like in those days before you received the light of the gospel, how to be saved, to know you were going to heaven when you die, whatever else the case, to know that you had a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that upon receiving Jesus Christ, He would never leave thee nor forsake thee. Most of you before that, what did you live for? What was your goal in life? What really was it that you were doing? Most men that you meet on the street, if you could get them to actually talk to you about it and open up about it, I will guarantee you that very few men would be able to verbalize their mission in life because they don't have one. Their mission in life is some esoteric idea of being happy. Some idea of, you know, some combination of money and health and children and grandchildren and a satisfying, healthful retirement in a place where you want to retire and fun. It's just kind of this ball of general ideological ideas, but as far as having a mission, they don't have a mission. I mean, a lot of people make some money and then do something entrepreneurial with it or give a lot of money away to charity or something, and you know that's their goal in life, and that's all fine, that's all good, I'm happy for them and all that. But I got news for you. That's not what life is. That's not what life is. In Matthew chapter 20, the Lord goes in and finds those workers, and He says, why stand you here all the day idle? Folks, that is exactly where God found me when I was 20-something years old. Okay, I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off. I was busy in college. I was an athlete in college. I had all kinds of things going on. I had all kinds of dreams. I mean, I was busy from daylight to dark and probably should have been doing more earlier and more later. And you know what I was doing with my life? I was doing nothing. I mean, when it really comes down to it, I was doing nothing. I was living for nothing. My life was vain. You have a wise man in Ecclesiastes who writes the book of Ecclesiastes, and he's deteriorated significantly spiritually from his glory days, and he says, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. You have one of God's men there that's deteriorated to the point where he looks around at life and he says, it's all vain, it's all for nothing. Well, I just want you to know, folks, that's how men today live. They run to and fro. Knowledge is increased. They are worried half to death. Stress is through the roof. They have to have a pill to go to bed. They have to have a pill to get up. They have to have a pill during the day when they're sad, and a pill during the day when they're too happy and too high. I mean, it's just one thing after another. You know, it's traffic. It's a job. You know, I'm telling you, you know, to look at them, it's like looking at an anthill. And yet, I'll tell you right now, they don't have a mission. They don't have a commission. You know what they're doing? They're not doing anything. They're eating, and they're sleeping, and they're procreating, and they're spending money. But that's about it. I tell you what, folks. To me, suicide is no mystery. I don't mean that I'm threatening to commit it. I'm just saying, people live lives that they have no mission for. What are you living for? In the end, the answer is nothing. So why don't I just blow my brains out and get it over with quicker? We'll see what's on the other side. And that's what suicide is. That's what suicide is. All right? Listen, the average man can't give you a substantive answer for what their mission in life is. All right? Now, here I am. Okay, I'm busy. I have kids. My kids are in sports. We're running the wheels off the car with kids' activities, extracurricular activities, sports activities. I'm running to and fro. I have errands every day. I have stress. But you know what? I'm not like the average guy in the world in that the average guy in the world is stressed out about bills and all that, and I can get stressed out about that stuff if I get worried about it too. But I have something else on my plate, because I tell you what I'm worried about. I'm worried about cheating God. I'm worried about, with my concerns about money and my concerns about the kids and my concerns about the extracurricular activities and running wheels off the car and all the other things that I got going, I'm concerned that all those things are taking me away from what I'm supposed to be doing, and I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I have a commission. I have a mission in life. Some Christians do, but they don't know it. Their life is their job, is their career, is their money, is their kids. They're going to wake up one day, old men and old women with arthritis and decrepit, with no funds, and their lives will be over, and they won't have done anything with them. I'll tell you what a blessing is. It's having a mission. It's having something to do. Go back to Noah. You realize, I don't know, there were a ton of men in Noah's day. A ton of men. There were probably billions of people on this earth in Noah's day. Think about it. We have 6 billion people on the earth today. It's 6,000 years into time. And men live to be anywhere from 50 to 80 years old, generally speaking. Noah's day, men were living to be 600 to 800 years old. You have a ton of kids in 800 years. Right? I mean, you're not a grandpa. I mean, you're a grandpa by the time you're 100. You're great, 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 great grandpa by the time you're 800. You get a ton of kids. There's a ton of men in Noah's day. I bet there's 3 or 4 billion people in Noah's day. I bet 4 billion people minus the 8 all went to hell. You realize that Noah and his three sons and the 4 wives were the only 8 people on this earth that had anything to do. that God blessed, that God was behind. Ever think about that? Say, what's the point? The point is, I'll tell you what a blessing is. A blessing is doing what you're created for. You are a new creature in Jesus Christ. Are you doing what you're created for? I got news for you. You were not created to be a mechanic. No matter what the world says, I was born to be a doctor. You were not. You were born to get saved and to go to heaven and serve God in between. If you can serve Him as a doctor, good, but you better make sure that as a doctor, you're serving Him, if you're a doctor. And you better make sure that as a mechanic, you're serving Him as a mechanic. Otherwise, you don't have nothing to do, and your life is vain. That's a blessing. A blessing is having a mission. A blessing is having a commission. I want to show you something else. Look in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, one of the next things that a blessing is. And I don't think you can miss it. Now, this is the fourth point, so 4 of 6, you're halfway there. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, and go down to verse 3. Let's start with verse 1. 2:1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. You cannot miss the connection between the blessing in verse 3 and its sanctification. He blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Okay, I'll tell you what a blessing is. A blessing in the Bible is sanctification. You know what it says there? It says that God set aside the seventh day as something special. It was so special that He rested on it. It was so special that for the rest of the time under the law, the children of Israel honored the seventh day by not working on the seventh day. It's so special that there's coming a day in the future that for the seventh millennium of man's history, God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will reign for that day. For that entire 1,000 years. That's what it's really all about. God blessed it and sanctified it. It was set aside as something special. It had a special purpose. It was set aside, especially set aside in a special place for a special purpose. Now you, that's what you've, are you saved? That's what you are. It says that you were once, you know, thieves and murderers and effeminate and a little bit of everything else. Such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified, right? In Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ sanctified you. Okay, I tell you what, it's a blessing to have the gift of God. That's eternal life. That's true. It is a blessing, folks, to have a commission, something to do. One of the definitions, though, of a blessing is that you've been given a purpose. You're sanctified. He not only gave you a purpose, but left you a dirty vessel so you can't do what you're supposed to do. He cleans you up so you are fit and so you are meet to be, you know, partakers with the inheritance of the saints in light. Okay? Okay. Well, very well. Okay. I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, he addresses the church at Corinth. He says, to them which are sanctified in Christ Jesus. I need you to turn to a place for me, all right? Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. My point with all this, folks, is that, you know, you get Christmas cards and send Christmas cards. Blessed, 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 blessed. Have a blessed season. Have a blessed holiday. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Do you even know what blessed means? Well, it means approval. It means saying something good. But it also means a gift. And it means, for a Christian, it means a commission. Okay? And it means sanctification. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse... let me get there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Let's read this. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man, therefore, A man's a vessel. You know you're a vessel, right? I mean, take me down to the potter's house. You're a vessel. This treasure we have in earthen vessels. If a man therefore purge himself from these, what? From bad vessels. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. All right. Now, it's that vessel is sanctified for the master's use. It's set aside for something special. Let me ask you a question. Ladies and girls, are you grossed out when the dog drinks out of the toilet? I mean, guys sometimes don't care, but ladies go, ew, can't stand it. Consider the possibility that one day your electricity goes out and maybe your plumbing's out too. And so they said that in New Hampshire or something that they'd been without electricity for a few days or whatever. You're without electricity and running water for a couple of days. And so you actually have to resort to the old method of a chamber pot at night. I'm not going to get too base here, but let me ask you a question. If you ever have to resort to a chamber pot, tell me, you're going to go and get the crystal vase out of the kitchen? Or you're going to use something else, right? Okay, well, I ain't coming to your house, I'll tell you that. Anyway, you're going to go to your grandmother's fine china cabinet, whatever they call those things, get the fine china out, which you inherited from your grandmother, and feed the cat on it. Usually not, except for Steve. You say, what's the point? The point is, you understand very well what the sanctification of a vessel is. You bless that vessel. And if your kid pulls out the fine crystal serving vase and starts to mix Kool-Aid in it, you're going to have a fit because it's not for Kool-Aid. It's something for even more special than that. Right? If you understand that, then you understand how you ought to live as a Christian. I don't understand why some people have so much problem with separation. You know, if Jesus Christ lives in you, would you tell me why would you have a haircut that looks like a cross between an electrocution and Jimi Hendrix? If you know that Jesus Christ lives in your vessel, then why do you put in your vessel, through your eyes and through your ears, some of the things that you put in your vessel? You see, we take our sanctification for granted. But it's a blessing. It's defined as a blessing. You know, that's what a blessing is. It's in part, it's your sanctification. Listen, it's a privilege. It's an honor. It's an honor to have Jesus Christ live in my body. It's an honor to be called to do what I'm called to do and what you're called to do. It's a privilege. Somebody that really feels privileged will take care of that privilege. Right? You know, I bet if the President of the United States appointed you to be in his presence, whatever, as a, I don't know, whatever, I bet you wouldn't burp out loud. There's nothing wrong with burping out loud. I know. I bet you wouldn't do it around him because you'd count it a privilege. It affects your behavior, and it's not all about whether it's sin or not. Hallelujah. Christmas message. All right, there's something else. All right, it's not only approval and kind pronouncement. It's a gift. It's a blessing. Not only is it a gift, but it's a commission, something to do. Most people don't have anything to do. A lot of times Christians don't have anything to do. It's also sanctification. It's a blessing. He said he blessed and sanctified the seventh day. He set it apart. It's something special. Okay. All right. There's the next thing that I have to say is what you what we more expect when we talk about God blessing. It's providential favor. It's God doing something only God can do, right? Isaac. Isaac goes and plants seed, and the Lord blesses him, and he brings forth that year 100-fold, okay? I mean, God blessed him, and he brought forth 100-fold. That's a lot. Jesus Christ blessed Simon's fishing, and he got a fish with a coin in its mouth. That's a blessing. I mean, it's God doing what only God can do, right? Christ blessed the bread and break bread for 4,000 and 5,000. Okay, that's something that only God can do. And so in Genesis chapter 12, where we started here this morning, I mean, I'll bless them that bless thee, God says, and curse them that curse thee. He said, I'll make you a blessing. I'm going to bless your seed. Okay, that's God doing only what God can do, right? In the case of, I'll read you a couple of examples here. In Proverbs 3, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Okay, that's what you want. You want God's blessing instead of God's cursing. When you do something, you want God to honor it and bless it and to profit it, to make it work better than it would ever work if it was just you doing it, right? That's what we usually think of when we think of God's blessing. First of all, you need to know with regard to this, everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Do you know that? A lot of times we don't know that. A lot of times we don't. We don't think too much about it, you know, at all. You know the verse, though. The verse says that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And a lot of people, you know, go to work and spend their money, and they complain that they, you know, aren't making enough and so on and so forth. Maybe you should ask the Lord's blessing on your job and ask the Lord's blessing on your money. And maybe you should ask him how you should spend your money, by the way. Instead of just going forward and then, you know, when you come to the end of the month and you had no money at the end of the month, you look to God and go, what's the problem? Well, you know, sometimes you don't ask his blessing. You're not asking his favor on some things. Listen, folks, your marriage isn't going to make it without Jesus Christ. It won't. Blessed Hope Baptist Church won't survive without God's blessing. I mean, it won't survive just because the pastor always stands here and yaps. It won't survive, by the way, just because you come here and give. It won't survive. It survives by God's blessing. You understand? Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Everything. Just because you can get pregnant doesn't mean that you're going to have a healthy baby without the Lord's blessing. Right? Just because you love her doesn't mean it's going to work without the Lord's blessing. Everything depends on the Lord's blessing. You getting to work safe tomorrow morning depends on the Lord's blessing. You need that. You do. Now, there's another lesson in that. You need it far more than you think you need it. And what I mean by that, I'm going to read you this verse, and you can go look it up later if you like. Exodus chapter 23. This was just something I found just in passing. But in Exodus 23:25, one of his promises to his people, listen, he said, ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he, God, shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. That verse says that you need God's blessing on your bread and your water. That's why we pray before we eat. And sometimes when we pray before we eat, we forgot we prayed. Say, do we pray yet? You need to pray again. Do you know why? Because you need the Lord's blessing on your food. Listen, folks, I'm not telling you here this morning that, you know, God's not trying to make vegetarians of us all. You being a health food nut doesn't mean that God's got doing something special with you. But you need to pray about what you do. Okay? Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. God curses as well as blesses. Malachi says he threatens to curse their blessings. I don't need that. Do you? Don't enough things go wrong without the Lord cursing your blessings? You need to secure the Lord's blessing. And I'm talking about now what most people perceive as blessings. Okay? You need God to bless what you do. Okay? There's one other thing I wanted you to see. In Psalm chapter 1, this is very familiar stuff. I've said that blessing is approval, kind pronouncement. Blessing is a gift. Blessing is a commission, having something to do. It's a definition. A blessing means sanctification. God took you, set you aside for something special. It is also providential favor. It's God supernaturally doing something for you that flesh or another man or you yourself couldn't do for yourself. It's required that God blesses it. He has to bless your water. He needs to bless your bread and your table. Right? Then there's this one last thing. And I want you to see in this that while it's necessary that you get God's favor, providential favor, providential blessing in that way, I want you to see something. I want you to know that there's an element of self-determination in it. What I mean is, sometimes we get mad at God for not giving us what we want, not resolving what we thought He should resolve, you know, not prospering us in what we wanted Him to prosper us in. And it's not His fault. It's your fault. Look in Psalm 1. All right. Blessed is the man. I mean, the book of Psalms starts out with blessed, right? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now listen, you know, when you love God and when you're trying to do right, and stand in the right place, walk in the right path, sit in the right seat, delight in the right thing, you need God's blessing to do that. I understand that. You want God to providentially favor you and prosper you in that. I understand that. But I'll tell you right now, I hold before you those first three verses, and I trust that God will bless it. But that's all self-determined right there. Can you see that? You walk where you're supposed to walk, stand where you're supposed to stand, sit where you're supposed to sit, delight in what you're supposed to delight in, think about what you're supposed to think. And having done that, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, and you'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water. That's self-determined. In some regards, you determine your own blessings. Right? I mean, you have to sow a seed to get something up. And Isaac didn't sow nothing and then get 100-fold. Because 0 times 100 is, well, that was encouraging. You didn't even pass math. You got to put a seed in the ground, man. And this is not seed faith stuff. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm saying that some of this stuff is self-determined. And a lot of times God gets blamed for crop failure when no crop was sown. You see? Look in chapter 2, verse 2. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. All right? I have no question that God will providentially bless your trust in God. I have no question about that. The fact, though, is that you pretty much self-determine whether you're blessed by what you're trusting. You see that? Can you see that it is in part self-determining? Can you see that in part? Your blessing rests on your shoulders, not just God's. Look in chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 12. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Okay? The Lord blesses the righteous. He blesses him with favor. That's what we want. We want God to favor us. Let's face it. We quote-unquote righteous, want God to favor us above the wicked. We want him to give us something the wicked don't have, right? That's fair. That's fair. Who controls, now don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about the righteousness of God, I'm not talking about salvation. Who controls whether you're righteous or not? You do. You do. See, part of this is, part of your blessing is self-determining. Look in Psalm 119. I'm not going to run you for a long time, but I just want you to know that there are people that wish to be blessed, and they have sown no seed that God can bless. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Who controls that? If you are undefiled and walk in the law of the Lord, then you're blessed. You control that. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with a whole heart. Who controls that? You do. A lot of it's self-determined. Now, folks, you know, the Lord said to Abraham, He said, I'm going to make you a blessing. He said, I'm going to bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. In you shall all nations, all families of the earth be blessed. I mean, is blessing, blessing, blessing there with Abraham. Folks, we are of the faith of Abraham if we receive Christ as our Savior. We have the Word of God. We have parts of the Word of God. Abraham never saw a day in his life. You know what? You have opportunity to be blessed in all these ways, even in some ways that Abraham didn't. Do you know what a blessing is now? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You this morning for Your goodness. And Lord, we know that You created us to be something special. You sanctified us, made us meet for the Master's use. And Father, we have all kinds of promises for Your blessing. We pray that You'd help us take heed to these things, honor earnest hearts that want to receive instruction. We pray that You'll deal with us. Father, show us where we fail in our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 255. 255.
Jesus. going to be back tonight at 6. Hopefully there will be no weather to deal with. I hate those decisions. Hey, folks, there's calendars. Remember to pay Barb. There's 30 or 40 calendars with more coming. And then there's lost and found table back there. You need to get everything off of that that we can. All right? All right, let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you for your blessing. And the blessings abound. We're grateful for you blessing us sometimes, Lord, when we certainly haven't sown the kind of crops we should have. We know that the blessings of God abound. And Father, we are probably the restrictive factor in it. We're asking, though, for you to lighten our eyes and to help us do better. We appreciate your kindness to us and appreciate your long-suffering, Father, and you being patient with us. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.